Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
One of the best ways you can preach the gospel to the world is to love your spouse. Because in this world, there are so many who don't. In fact, a survey was taken that showed that 75% of those married rated their marriage as unhappy or more like a business partnership than a relationship built on love. A business partnership. That's not God's definition of marriage. The Lord said the two shall become one flesh. One hurts, the other feels it too.
In today's message, Pastor Troy will remind you that an amazing way to live out the good news of the Bible is through your marriage. Marriage is very important to God. He has many things to say about marriage in the Bible. Christ calls His church His bride, and like a good husband, He loves His bride. In the same way, by loving your spouse in a way that honors the Lord, you demonstrate the love of the Lord for everyone to see. Pastor Troy will also remind you that marriage is a gift. Cherish it. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Hebrews chapter 13 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
These Hebrews were losing their very families. They needed each other. Their own families couldn't understand them and were turning their backs on them and threatening them because of their faith. So this wasn't a blood is thicker than water thing, except the blood of Christ. Christ came first. So he says, don't forget to love each other, brotherly love. He says, do not forget to entertain strangers. Now again, I said this is about Christians. When he's talking about strangers here, he's not saying, hey, that strange guy out there that you don't even know, take him into your home. Go ahead, give him a bedroom and risk your life. Go ahead. He's not saying that at all. That's not what this is talking about. See, in Israel at that time, the word entertain, it doesn't mean, come on, my honey, come on, my daughter, you know, you know, entertain some strangers. It means to show hospitality toward, to show hospitality toward or to minister to in a practical sense. So you minister to them. And at that time, that was one of the greatest virtues. Because see, today we've got convenience stores. We're always in our car with air conditioning. We've got snacks in the car. It's not the same today. So we've got to get in their mindset. When they traveled, they had to take dehydrated foods if they were on long journeys. They didn't have a place to stay. The inns, they weren't the safest or best places, because most of the time there was just bad activity that happened in those places, because most of the time you stayed with family or friends. That was the custom. And so to stay at an inn, it was either the Passover and it was just cram-packed so you expected it, or you were somebody who was on your own and ripe for the pickings. We will watch that person. So what you would want to do is you'd want to take that person in. Hey, you're that traveler that keeps passing through. You know what? Do you have a place to stay this week? All right, well, or you're going to be in town for the night. Okay, come on in. Or let me give you a meal while you're passing through. Because you saw each other, you talked to each other. So there was a familiarity, even though someone might be a stranger. Actually, they were more familiar with their strangers than we are familiar with some of our own family. That's sad. Because of the walks that they took and the traveling. They didn't have radios cranked up. And just be quiet, this is my favorite part. They would sing together and talk together and they would get to know each other. So they said, do not forget to entertain strangers. It says, for some have unwittingly entertained angels. Now, here's where we can get a little strange ourselves. Because some go, they could be angels. I want to entertain because there could be an angel. Let me just say it's true. Could be. But that's not what he's suggesting. He's not suggesting, hey, make sure you entertain strangers because some of them could be angels. He's actually referring back to Abraham and Lot. And he's saying, you know, why don't you make sure that you entertain strangers? Because did you know what? Some in doing that actually entertained angels like Abraham. Like Lot. Here's what he's saying. Please represent Christ by entertaining those who may need help or ministering to, because you don't know who they may be. You don't know who they may be. They may be the next Billy Graham, maybe an angel. You don't know. Don't count someone as nothing or insignificant. So it's our tendency to entertain those that we're comfortable with, that are like us or that we like. Even in the church, I just talked about not doing it, but even in the church, there is a tendency to flock together. We get comfortable with the groups that agree with the same things we agree with. And so that's what stagnates our growth. We lock into one little group. We all agree, we feel each other out over the course of a year, a couple of years, and go, you're okay with this kind of stuff? You're okay, yeah. And we get locked into our little clique or group, and we don't really grow. And others are, oh, they're just self-righteous. And the other group's like, man, can you believe what they do? And then they're pointing at each other. This is why we need to entertain others that we're not quite as familiar with in our groups, in our circles, so that we don't become exclusive. The world has enough of that. And so that we don't stop growing and being challenged to grow. And we don't know who that person is we might be helping or ministering to at that time. Besides that, I will tell you this. Becoming exclusive is the death of a church. I know, because we're purchasing this church, and I had talked to the previous pastor, and he said, we became exclusive. They didn't want kids. They didn't want kids doing things. They didn't want this, and nobody could come, and nobody could feel comfortable doing anything, so we died. When we become exclusive and nitpicky and everything else, we will choke to death the life of the church. So, entertain strangers. They're not all like you. In fact, you're a stranger to someone. And then he says, remember the prisoners. Again, he's speaking about the persecuted church, not just to the criminal. Yeah, those criminals, go visit them. So he's not establishing prison ministry here, although it is a good ministry for outreach. It's evangelistic, but that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about those who've been imprisoned. You see, at this time, if you hadn't been imprisoned yourself, you knew someone who had or was currently in prison because there was that much persecution going on. So he's saying, don't forget them. It's easy, out of sight, out of mind, and to move on. And even when they are taken in, for them to go, hey, go on with your life. Forget about me. Go on with your life. And to do the noble thing. And for you to go, yeah, they just said move on. There's a time for that. But he's saying, don't so easily or quickly do that. Remember them. Remember their commitment to Christ and visit them. You know, think about it. If you were in prison, would you just want to be left alone and have everyone forget about you and wonder if anybody even cared? Even if you had done something wrong. No, it would feel nice, wouldn't it, to know that someone hadn't forgotten about you? To know that maybe they would care enough to send a little letter and you have something to do with your time other than just the routine of whatever you do inside. So maybe a care package. So he says, don't forget them. Remember those who are mistreated since you are in the body also. In other words, you're in the body and we're all part of one body. But to take it even further than that, you have a body. And you know what it feels like to be mistreated. You know what it feels like to be left alone. You know what it feels like to experience these things. Well, they're in the body too. They experience, they have emotions, they have feelings. Don't forget them. By the way, while we're talking about that, let me just suggest that we not forget those who are in the prisons called hospital beds. They can't get up, they can't get out. Nursing homes and widows who may be all alone. Don't forget them. So, love others, because genuine faith produces a practical love. Verse 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So another form of practical love is love for your spouse. Love your spouse. Starts out saying marriage is honorable among all, and it should be. It's something to be esteemed, held high, honorable, something to be given importance. The wife or the spouse should not be considered a ball and chain, an imprisonment. They should be considered important. So in other words, the guys say, let's go out to the club tonight. It shouldn't be like this. I can't. Got a wife. The ball and chain. Can't do anything. It shouldn't be that way. It should be coordinated already between you two, you and your spouse, and say, you know what? As Paul Overstreet once sang, all the fun I'm ever going to need, I got waiting at home for me. My wife is there. My family. I don't need those kinds of things. So it doesn't mean you can't ever go out, but it should be coordinated because there's a consideration for your spouse. Or, hey, yeah, we're going to go after work and we're going to play some golf or do something like that. Hey, let me talk to my wife. That way they know that there's a respect for her. She may have something planned, maybe some special dinner. I'm a guy, I could have forgotten some important date. I want to check in with her. So considering her important, loving her, it should be honorable among all. In fact, it's honorable because it's a witness.
There's much more to learn from today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So be sure to stay tuned for the next part of Pastor Troy's message. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us in person for our weekly services on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. for a time of worship and learning from the Word of God. You can also come by on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our in-depth Bible study. Learn more about the church and find directions at our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We hope we see you there. Now, here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. Your marriage is to be a witness. One of the best ways you can preach the gospel to the world is to love your spouse. Because in this world, there are so many who don't. In fact, a survey was taken that showed that 75% of those married rated their marriage as unhappy or more like a business partnership than a relationship built on love. A business partnership. That's not God's definition of marriage. The Lord said, the two shall become one flesh. One hurts, the other feels it too. They're in agreement. They walk together. They work together. But 75% are unhappy and or feel like their marriage is more of a business partnership than a relationship built on love. That's sad. You know, for some, it's easier to love the brethren, to love the stranger, to love the prisoner, than to love their spouse the way God wants them to. You see, at home, that's where we take off the mask, right? It's where I want to let my hair down. It's where I want to be myself. And so we have more tolerance, more patience in public, which is what scares me. When I see somebody who is short of patience out here, I wonder what it's like at home. I wonder what it's like in their personal life. It's been said, if you can be a Christian well at home, you can be a Christian anywhere. It is the most challenging place to walk in the way Christ would have us walk. Because there's no time where you just put things down. They're there. In God's eyes, marriage is one of the most honorable institutions that he established. He established it, by the way, not for tax purposes. He established it, which actually now it works the other way, right? It used to be good to get married. Now it's actually better to stay single, which is why we have so many, for the money, staying single. You could say that God is, however, more interested in your marriage and how you minister in your marriage, if you're married, than in whether or not you have a ministry outside of that. He's not worried about you ministering outside the home when inside the home, you're failing. Your home is not being tended to, taken care of. Your role in that marriage, in that relationship is not being performed. He doesn't care about the external stuff that you can do. Oh, it's easier to go out and for an hour or 2 hours at a time, look good. How are you doing? I'm doing good. Oh, God is good. Yeah. Oh, come here, honey. Come here, sweet cake. And then you go home and don't talk on the way home. And that's easy to do. No, sweet cake is not something I call my wife. I say, oh, sweet cake. So the next time we write Ophelia a card, we'll call her sweet cake. Don't do that. So God is interested in our marriage. And now we see that there's a contrast in the marriage bed and the fornicator and the adulterer. The marriage bed, he says, is undefiled. The reason he brings this up is because there were some, when they came to Christ, perhaps their relationship wasn't all that they wanted it to be, and they thought, you know what? Maybe we should have no physical relations. That would make us more holy. Because you remember when God was speaking, he said, refrain from those things. Obviously, we can't be as holy. So perhaps we should refrain and they would distance themselves and almost kind of, I want to act like I'm single. And so he's sharing, and he'll share in another place that you should not stay apart. You should come together because you don't want to give opportunity for the enemy. But he says that we have something special in marriage, and it's only for marriage. Celibacy is not holy in the confines of marriage. In marriage, God ordained that union. And so it is not less holy. It doesn't make you more distant from the Lord. God blesses and honors it. And even commands that we fulfill our role if we're married with that. But outside of marriage, fornicators and adulterers, he says, God will judge. Bottom line is this: physical relations, physical intimacy outside of marriage is sin and is not acceptable by God. It's reserved for marriage alone. God is the one who invented physical relations. This is why we have a children's ministry. Because there are times where we will talk about certain things. So it's for that. God invented it, and he determines the proper context for it. Not us. Now, the world has a different view of this. And I'm going to read you one man's perspective. He's no prophet. He's no Christian. He is a owner of a porn business. So this is obviously a worldly perspective. And here's what he said. Sex is a function of the body. It's a drive that man shares with animals, like eating, drinking, and sleeping. It's a physical demand that must be satisfied. If you don't satisfy it, you'll have all sorts of neurosis and repressive psychosis. Sex is here to stay. Let's forget the prudery that makes us hide from it. Throw away those inhibitions and find a girl who is like-minded and let yourself go. Now, that's the philosophy of the world. And it seems to be the philosophy that is permeating our world. It's everywhere. It's certainly in our public schools, because our public schools have already told us that abstinence is not an option. We cannot teach abstinence because of this. They will go through all of this. You can't have them repress that. But God says it's for marriage, and that if you're not married, you must repress yourself. Hold it back. Our TV, the movies, the ads as we look around, they all stir in us this appetite or craving, this lustful craving. It's a strong thing. So how in the world are we supposed to say no or control ourselves? Well, let me just tell you this. If you light the fire, it's going to be hard to control. So you don't light the fire at all. Don't light the fire. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." That means we need to be very, very, very discerning about what we allow ourselves to be entertained by, what we see, because we see something, we go, "Wow, wonder what that's like. Wow." It starts when they're young, guys. When we begin to introduce our daughters to Prince Charming and that magical, most perfect kiss. You want to know why some girls grow up longing for a kiss? Because we sell it to them at a young age. We sell these things to them. We let them take them in, and their heart is, "Wow, I can't wait." Very often when you hear girls talking a lot about, "I can't wait to get married, I can't wait this," they've been inundated with Prince Charming or this idea of Prince Charming or something that they've seen. Usually it's not their mom and dad's marriage that's inspired them. Usually there's something they've been watching and taking in. We have got to be very careful what we allow into our children's hearts and what we bring into our own hearts and homes, because it influences us and it gives us a thirst. Once a thirst is there, I'll give you an example. Before you are ever physically intimate, you don't know what you're missing. After that, it's hard to go or do without it for some. It makes life very difficult. And so the Lord says, control yourself. This is for this. Know it here. Exercise it here. And then things will go well with you. It says God will judge adulterers and fornicators. That means God's not going to sit up there one day and wink at it. "I know you were in love. I know. What's a piece of paper anyway? I didn't make the paper, so yeah, it was fine." He's not going to do that. God is against, opposed to, it is sin, all physical intimacy outside of marriage. And I say this because I have talked to too many individuals who will say something like, "Well, we read the Bible together and we go to church together and we love each other. I've never loved anyone like this person."
Faith is something that sounds easier than it realistically is. As we've continued to study through the book of Hebrews, though, we hope you've noticed just how often faith is referred to. Many people have held on to their faith despite trials and despite personal mistakes. This wasn't easy, but we have their lives, the Word of God, and the support of the body of Christ to help us thrive. Here at Building on the Solid Rock, we realize how hard this journey of faith is for everyone. We want you to know that we pray for you often. If you ever have a specific prayer request, please email us at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can find out more about this ministry as well as listen to other messages from Pastor Troy by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast while you're there to never miss a new edition of this program. That site again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. Thanks for tuning in today. Pastor Troy will continue walking with us through Hebrews next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.